I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me here on the island of independent thought. I'll tell you what, I started putting together a show. It's so funny that so many things that I talk about are inspired by conversations I have with people. I just kind of set off bells. A buddy of mine called me last night. He checks in at least once a week. Sometimes we have 3-4 hour conversations about everything from financial markets to foreign policy stuff. Always very interesting. He's challenging. He doesn't like to take my word for anything, so it's like it's flexing my debate muscles every time I talk to him. But it, always an interesting conversation. And he was saying, you know, what do you make of the world? And we started kind of going through the list of the things that we're seeing right now. Both of us very interested in markets and finance and these kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get to it probably next hour. But all I can say is get ready. Just people need to start getting ready. You know, libertarians are among the most optimistic people, actually. But we're actually realists as well. At least I am. And so while right now in the U.S. we have, in terms of our government, we're entering some kind of banana republic phase of complete corruption and abject failure. And I'll report on that every day because my goal is to get you to finally lose your remaining faith in any of these institutions. Because ultimately, the only way I think that we save this thing is to just really withdraw our consent. And this is one of the reasons I absolutely love the Let's Go Brandon thing that is sweeping the nation. I got to tell you, I love this because it's sarcastic, it's funny, it's fun, and it because of this Let's Go Brandon thing, I don't know if you're familiar with this, most people are by now, started by was a NASCAR reporter who was trying to cover up for the F Joe Biden chant that was going on, and she said, I think they're chanting Let's Go Brandon, so this has made this go mainstream because now people can say this just right out there on the news. There's no profanity to it. It's genius to have taken this up.
But hey, I watch Fox News because it's America. It's my America. It's a real station telling the real truth every day. And by the way, let's go, Brandon.
Okay, all right.
So it can pop up anywhere. And I absolutely love it. There was also this. Check this out. The audio of this is not good, but this is maybe the third time. Maybe in the past year or so that someone has pulled off this prank. This is Chicago's O'Hare Airport, the intercom system over there. Paging.
Emergency safety passenger Let's Go Brandon, please report that you attended with your party. Passenger Let's Go Brandon, please report that you attended with your party.
Paging passenger Let's Go Brandon. This was at the Chicago O'Hare Airport. God love the people who were making these calls and getting these. I can't remember what the last one was, but I absolutely love these things. A friend of mine down in Hattiesburg had texted something about this weekend, and she said it was about the F Joe Biden chants that were going on. I believe this one was at the Ole Miss game and some recording of it that was on social media. You know, and she said, they didn't even do this during Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump was one of the most hated men in the world on the left, but they didn't do this. And her implication was, you know, Joe Biden is so much more hated than Donald Trump is. That's really probably true. At least, you know, everybody flip-flops. We all just hate the other side for most people. But she said, but the left didn't even do this. And I said, well, it's because the left has no sense of humor anymore. I absolutely love the Let's Go Brandon, even the F. Joe Biden. People are having fun with it. They're smiling as they do it. They think it's funny. They know these things pop up on mainstream media. So I love it. And it shows such an utter disrespect to the President of the United States. And I've kind of been battling this idea for the longest time, particularly in the older generations. God love you. I understand why you feel this way, because you grew up in this country that told you it's patriotic to, you know, you may not love your president, but he's your president. And finally, the scales have fallen off people's eyes. These people do not serve you. They do not, by virtue of achieving some status, some office, some title, the idea that rising in the U.S. government comes with it some level of respect. I mean, I saw this during the Obama years. Even people who were completely opposed to Barack Obama would say things like, well, yes, but you don't say that about the president of the United States. He is our president. Barack Obama was a mass murderer, a blood-soaked war criminal, droning innocent people throughout the Middle East, invading countries who had done nothing to us, not to mention what he was doing here domestically, stealing from the American people to channel dollars into the health insurers' pockets through the Trojan horse of the Affordable Care Act. The idea that we're supposed to give them some level of respect. This is actually a pretty big conservative principle, too, but it seems like maybe that is falling away, so I absolutely love it. Now, the funny thing is that libertarians, really, for as much, I mean, you will hear me dismantle this government, this system we have right now on a daily basis, but I actually have some faith in humanity, because I can see how well people can get along and cooperate when the government is absent. Happens all the time. The Cajun Navy. Any natural disaster, Americans rise to the cause and donate. It's not a perfect world of peace and harmony. There's always going to be a-holes. But the government is not the solution to our problem. As Ronald Reagan told us, it is the problem. And next hour, I'm going to go through a list of things that are happening right now that are wildly concerning. And it could point to some very serious issues going forward. I mean, these are pretty big events that are happening right now. The idea is that heading into this fall, we could be in for something. I'm just going to tell you, get ready. When I come back, I'll give you my quotes of the day, and we're going to head into some of the news. In the meantime, I've got what's emerge on this show as my stacked headlines segment. Looking at headlines, it's primarily on Drudge. When you just see these headlines one after another, you just have to scratch your head and say, what the hell are we doing? We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
All right, let's take a look at, we've got some quotes of the day today. First one is from Thomas Sowell, a great thinker. If you're not following Thomas Sowell, I haven't read his stuff. He really is a smart guy. He said, there are a few things more dishonorable than misleading the young. We'll talk later about, I went to the critical race theory seminar speech on Saturday night. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but man, are we misleading the young? H.L. Mencken, when somebody says it's not about the money, it's about the money. Friedrich Nietzsche said, liberalism is the transformation of mankind into cattle. Thomas DiLorenzo said, peaceful secession and nullification are the only means of returning to a system of government that respects rather than destroys individual liberty. Back to Let's Go Brandon. I am here to try to shake your faith in any foundations of any remaining institution in the United States. I mean, just take a step back for just a second. I know a lot of you out there, you're wrestling to try to get the Republicans in charge of these institutions, or you're wrestling to get the Democrats in charge of these institutions. It's the institutions themselves that are corrupt. It doesn't matter what letter you put behind the heads of these things. The CDC, the SEC, the CIA, the FDA, the USDA, the Treasury, the Fed? Do I need to go on? Do you really believe putting a different letter behind the head of these agencies is going to make any difference? It is not. And then the last one, and what I'll leave the quotes of the day on, is Socrates. He said, I cannot teach anybody anything. I can only make them think. That is just basically the theme of this show. I ran across a trailer to a new horror movie this weekend. Have you seen this thing? If not, you can go check it out. It's on YouTube, the trailer for it. I don't even know if the movie's out. It's subtitled. It's something not made in America. But there's a new movie out called Lamb. L-A-M-B. Lamb. And it is it's a horror story. I'm quite intrigued to see it, although I've got to tell you, I have very little tolerance for subtitled movies. How can you pay attention to the action? I guess the human mind. I guess I would probably get used to it. Parasite was supposed to be a great movie. My son keeps telling me, oh, you got to see Parasite. I keep tuning, looking into it, and I was like, well, if I wanted to read a movie, I'd read a book. That's probably immature or unsophisticated on my part. But anyway, this is a foreign film, but it's called Lamb. You can see it's got a two-minute trailer. But it's about a lamb-human hybrid. And it is designed as a horror movie. You'll see it. You know, looks like the sheep and the goats and everybody are turning against human beings. Some ominous pictures looking into the eye of a sheep. Some very, very scary sheep facial expressions. But it struck me as just really ripe for the times. And I don't know if this is what they actually meant with this or if this was just, you know, out of the mind of some kind of a horror script writer. But I thought, well, that's about right now. It's the merging of sheep and man is exactly what we're living through right now. In this particular thing, it's basically a human body with a sheep's head on it that is born, and the family appears to, by all indications from the trailer, the family appears to love this child with a complete sheep's head, and the community is against it. It's an abomination or whatever. This is what you get from a two-minute trailer. But I just thought, you know, maybe this is like Idiocracy. It's some level of a documentary film. That certainly is good commentary on what we're seeing right now. But I was with the lions, not the sheep, on Saturday. Went out to the great rally that Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights put on. Had Del Bigtree and some other great speakers. I'm sorry I cannot recall his name right now and didn't make a note of it. There was a black speaker just... I'm going to try to get him on the show. He was just absolutely fantastic. But it was a good crowd, a great day. Kids running around, playing, no mask. The parents, they're very involved, a lot of signs. It was really great to see a good-sized group of people for freedom. And the event was really, really fantastic. Andy Gibson spoke. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on this guy. Andy Gibson spoke, the agricultural commissioner here for the state. He has apparently had an adverse reaction to vaccines. I believe when he said he was 19, he gave a lengthy speech, and that was kind of the closer, is that he was familiar with the issue. But this was a medical freedom rally, and Andy Gibson was featured as a friend of that, and certainly his speech indicated that we should have the right to refuse an experimental vaccine. He was on point the entire time, a good speech, but I couldn't help shake the memory, very recent memory, that this was the same Andy Gibson who was not so hip to medical freedom when it came to medical marijuana in the state. He opposed it. Now, he's had this personal interaction with vaccines, so at least he's sympathetic and willing to speak out about it. I'm not trying to take any credit to him away for that, but I might say, hey, Andy, as I tell my listening audience all the time, you don't get to pick your freedoms. You're either free or you're not. And so to give us freedom over our bodies when it comes to vaccines, but try to deny us the freedom to grow a God-given plant to treat Parkinson's seems a little hypocritical, a little inconsistent. So I would just ask that maybe Andy Gibson explore within himself that level of hypocrisy. Great rally on Saturday, well attended, really fantastic people. I got to tell you, I don't know, for those of you who are not getting engaged at any level, I don't know what the hell you're waiting for, first of all. If you're, are you seriously waiting for a bunch of moms who've got better things to do? They're raising children. They're getting them to soccer practice. They're doing all kinds of things. Are you really waiting for a bunch of moms to fight this battle for you guys? There were a lot of men out there. I met some fantastic people, really great people out there, people I had not met. I'd run into somebody I knew, and some other people would be familiar with the show, and I would get to meet those. I met some of the spouses of some of the Madison Moms group. It just was, it's fantastic. But if you are sitting on your butt and have not gotten involved, not only, I think, is that dangerous and short-sighted, because these things, they're not asking you to quit your job and go work a call bank for 8 hours a day. They're saying, hey, show up for about 2 hours a month for something somewhere. Most people can't be bothered with that, but a lot of people were. But you will find, if you go to these things, you'll find great people. I have met people I never, ever would have met any other way. They're people who think like me. They're great people. And we don't even talk entirely about politics. We didn't talk all about vaccines that day. We certainly hit on those things. We talk about freedom. We express our disgust with the ruling class, but we talk about all kinds of fun stuff. It's making new friends. That's not always easy when you're an adult. You know, we all get kind of in our workplaces, or you don't always just go out and meet new people. So if you're sitting on your butt, you're missing not only maybe our last opportunity to fight back against this stuff, but you're also missing an opportunity to meet some fantastic people. That Saturday night, they did the seminar on critical race theory. And I got to tell you, it was some pretty stunning stuff and documented. It was not a hysterical speech. It was really pulling through the news and actual curriculum. They showed some children's books. Jaw-dropping stuff of some of the sexual deviancy that is being taught in our elementary schools. And I got to tell you, my eye was not on that ball when my kids were in school, but I don't get the idea that I missed anything, but I certainly wasn't on guard and didn't know these things are out there around. And they showed clips of parents going to school board meetings and reading. They would read from a book that was given to their fourth grader, and the school board would try to stop them from reading from this book in public because it was so profane. And one of the moms so rightfully said, what the hell are you talking? You don't want me to read this out loud in front of a room full of adults, but you'll give this to my child to take home? But that was the sexual perversion side of things. But there was also certainly all of the race hustling stuff and the very diverse crowd of whites and blacks and young and old and men and women who are all going to their school board meetings and fighting against this critical race theory, the most powerful speeches that we watched. You know, these things have gone around social media. You've heard most of them. You've seen a lot of them online. But they were from black parents who said, you quit disempowering my child. Quit trying to convince my child that they're less than somebody else, that they're even capable of being oppressed. A lot of great black parents are out there just saying that we'll have nothing to do with this. But that was also a great event. A tad long. The speech lasted about 3 hours. And it was funny, I was leaving this speech after about 3 hours. He lost a lot of the crowd. People were there with their children on a Saturday night from 7 to 10. It's just, you just can't do a three-hour speech on a Saturday. And a lot of people had been to the rally, too, were already kind of tired and worn out. But he had a lot of information. He didn't waste his time. I mean, he wasn't hemming and hawing and taking us down personal anecdotes. There was a lot of information to cover. But it needed to be about a tight 90 minutes. Maybe at the most. But outside of that, you know, I left the thing and talked to some people that had been there that had to leave early. I was sitting in the front row. I turned around about 2 hours into this thing. I guess I hadn't looked behind me. I hadn't been paying attention to any racket. About 60% of the crowd, I mean, they had to go. But it was not for lack of quality. It was fantastic in the quality presented. But I thought, you know, can I really criticize this? As a guy who comes on the radio every day for 2 hours, I do 10 hours a week of speaking to the public. Can I really criticize someone for doing a three-hour speech? Feels a little hypocritical. But I do things like this and take a quick capitalistic break. So we'll come back. We're going to talk about these. Let me look at these stacked headlines start getting the flavor for what next hour will be, which is the whole thing is, I got to tell you, I think it's time to get ready. A lot of us have been talking about this for decades. It's been a little bit of a crying wolf situation. When you start looking at the way things are trending right now, it may be time to be a little prudent in figuring out what you're going to do if things really go south. It could be upon us. We'll be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. The guy's name that spoke at the rally, black guy that spoke, his name is Kevin Jenkins. And I'm certainly going to be hunting for some YouTube on this guy. I mean, he spoke about freedom. And where was the black community? I heard Clay Edwards talking about this on his show before I came on. Where was the black community? Do you really believe that oppression is a one-and-done thing? Do you think you've already done your time? Oh, yeah, they abused us for a while, but they never think of, you know, turning us into second-class citizens again. That rally on Saturday, it was all about the fact that they are trying to turn all of us, regardless of skin color, the black community that is not uptaking this vaccine, you're turned back into second-class citizens. Are you seriously not on guard from that? I got all this white privilege, and I'm worried about it. Enough to get off my butt and march and protest and talk to you about it on the radio shows. The black community really just, well, okay. I know the Democrats tell you how much they love you every time, you know, every 2 years, every 4 years, every 6 years, they tell you that they're your saviors, but I mean, you paying attention to how things are going? How's the black community doing, by and large? Everything's swimming. I mean, pretty satisfied with the results? All right, well, you can just sit this one out, keep the masks on your kids. Avoid the shot for as long as you can. Complain when you get fired. And do nothing. I've never seen so many white people out at an event going, where are our black brothers and sisters? We want you there. We want you there. Here's, as I said, this is becoming kind of a segment on this show now, the stacked headlines, because when you see these things all together, you just think, oh my God, what's happening to this country? And I defy one single healthcare professional out there, particularly you doctors who seem to be running this show. Nurses seem to be pretty awake to exactly what's going on. They're suffering the consequences of that, unfortunately. But all of you doctors out there, do you really not see what's going on right now? You can't see how insane this is. Listen to this. Just this little stack of headlines. What, this is four or five headlines? Seattle braces for mass firing of police as hundreds have yet to show proof of vax. I believe Seattle is set to lose 40% of their police department in Seattle. Is going to be gone because of a vaccination. Is there a doctor out there right now that would feel comfortable living in Seattle? Oh, maybe in your upper middle class to wealthy home with a private security in your neighborhood and walls and a gated community. But do you really wish for the working class citizens of Seattle that they lose 40% of their police protection because they won't get a shot for a disease they're not concerned about that is experimental? Is there a doctor out there that will defend that? Here's another headline. UCLA doctor escorted from hospital after refusing a vaccination. I mean, the guy doesn't even have to consult with a doctor. He is his doctor. You've got to assume a UCLA doctor is both a scientist and somebody who is capable of parsing through medical data. He's made a decision to not take the vaccine. They escort him out. Studies confirm waning immunity. Only 2 months effective. This is another headline in this same. So they're going to lose 40% of their police in Seattle. A UCLA doctor who chooses not to take this thing is escorted out of the hospital physically. And yet this same thing that they're trying to force these cops and force these doctors to take, they're finding it lasts for 2 months. So that means every doctor at UCLA who took this vaccine more than 60 days ago,
They're just as vulnerable and dangerous to us all as this doctor that they escorted out because he won't take it. The 40% of Seattle cops who are going to have to lose their jobs and leave Seattle as a crime-ridden haven. For every cop that did take this shot more than 60 days ago, there's no difference between them. And yet they're going to allow them to quit. And here's another one. French cops board a train, arrest a tourist for, quote, wearing the wrong type of mask. Is there one single medical professional out there, with all your hyperventilating, with all your hypochondria, with all your fear-mongering, do you believe these are the events that should be happening in our world right now for a virus that is 99.99% survivable for anybody under 60 years old? Are you really on board with this? I beg you to call. Begging you to call. I may have to phony up a reason to talk to a doctor, you know, an on-air interview and do an ambush piece. Because this is insane. Southwest Airlines, this past weekend, it's still going on today from what I understand. Yesterday, they had to cancel 1,000 flights. They sent out some kind of a press that it was, you know, some unusual weather or this or that. Because what they're trying to cover up is the fact that the pilots and the airline employees are not, they're going to slow that airline down. And they should, because Southwestern put out a vaccine mandate. This is the world, you doctors, you medical professionals, you bureaucrats. This is the world you have created. Is any of these things, and Southwest is not alone, apparently American Airlines. It's pretty fascinating. The Southwest Airlines guys, apparently their union says it's illegal for them to do a general strike. I don't know the particulars of labor laws, and particularly what I guess would be considered critical infrastructure for the United States. They're, you know, the air traffic controllers, when they struck back in the 1980s, They were fired, so it may be illegal. So they're not announcing any kind of a sick out, but these pilots, they're giving a wink, wink, nod, nod as they pass each other in the airport, maybe a little clenched fist, and they're just calling in sick. They're using up all their sick days to slow down this airline because these pilots don't want the shot. Can you please explain to me? There's two pilots who got onto a plane. One of them is vaccinated and one of them is not vaccinated. Both of them can catch COVID. Both of them can transmit COVID. Both of them are locked into a cockpit with a door between them and all of the passengers. Can somebody please explain to me what crime, what danger the unvaccinated pilot is posing to anybody? Again, his co-pilot is vaccinated. And if the vaccine works, then he's protected against that unvaccinated pilot in the cockpit. And there's a damn door between them and the public. Even if you still believe, and contrary to all science, all data, that he is some kind of a threat, there's a door between them and the people. And this is the world we've created. It is hard to believe. And the fact that the medical community has not gone, oh, okay, hold on now. I mean, we've got a bad disease, and we've seen a lot of people in the hospital, and the elderly are very, very vulnerable. But come on, we didn't mean it's this bad. That's what you would think you would be hearing from the UMCs, from the Dr. Dobbs. You would think that they would read these headlines and go, okay, look, maybe we are misunderstood here. We're just telling everybody, you know, to be careful, and that if you're vulnerable, but we're not trying to take down the entire country, our entire economy. We're not trying to cost hundreds of thousands of people their careers over this thing. That's what you would think they would say, but they're not. They're just watching these things take place. They are watching our society, our economy, our police protection, fire protection. They're just watching these things crumble and thinking that, well, if we take it down far enough, if we take America down to the complete studs, maybe it will force everybody to get this shot and we can reemerge from it. There's no reemerging from that. You idiots. Shame on you. I don't work out with my doctor today, my doctor friend. It's probably a good thing, because he might not like our conversation with the way my mind's working today. I'll be right back. one of the first rats I smelled when COVID popped up was the financial rat. And it wasn't just about pharmaceutical companies making money from these jabs. It was the whole financial system. I realized they were setting us up for another round of bailouts Americans never would have gone for had it not been for the decimation of the American economy. And I've got some statistics on just how successful this wealth transfer from the middle class of America up to the very tippy top of things. And I warned about this probably in February of last year. I smelled something odd about this thing, and particularly when I started hearing talk of all about the federal aid to these things, and I was watching financial markets, the overnight repo markets, that were shuddering. You know, if you ever ridden a skateboard down a steep hill, do you know what the death wobble is? It's terrifying as a child. The death wobble is when you're sailing down, you feel like you're flying, and all of a sudden the board starts shaking. There's no stopping in that situation. It's the death. Well, the best thing you can hope to do is bail out into some grass and avoid a mailbox. I did it many times, but I saw the financial system back in September of 2019, starting with the death wobble in the overnight markets. Suddenly, this thing pops up that allows them to endlessly bail out all the big corporations that were experiencing this death wobble. They were rescued. And I'm going to talk about the results of that in just a second. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, you know, you were talking about the vaccine mandates, and it is unbelievable the nonsense and the silliness that this has turned into, and it's almost laughable that we're in the midst of to listen to the media and the government talk this highly contagious, deadly virus.
Worse than the Spanish flu.
Destroying us, and we're willing to let go of, as some estimates, 40% of the healthcare workers.
Yeah, but we're not too scared to pack the stands of a football stadium. I mean, this entire thing is driven exclusively by the media, the profiteers, and the health bureaucracy. I mean, nobody else is really participating in this except for the fact that they've made it such a monumental pain in our ass that sometimes people have to slap on a mask or, you know, they're dealing with now with vaccine passports. And just wait till next hour. I've got what Tate Reeves has said about proposed about this nursing thing. I mean, holy
cow.
You brought
up earlier the doctors that are involved in. You know, everybody knows that probably 90% of the doctors out there could not function. They couldn't put their shoes on without their nurses.
Right.
They can't do it. And yet there's some estimates as many as 50% of the nurses are unvaccinated. And these doctors are willing to. You want to see mass chaos in the healthcare system? Let all these doctors show up and they don't have a nurse.
Oh, absolutely.
My God. These guys. They can't do anything.
So where are they? Where are they? Where are these doctors saying, look, this is a bad disease. We want everybody to get vaccinated, but we love these nurses. They are so essential to our operations and are so good. They save so many lives. They make our system function. Now, I will say it's in dysfunction, but, you know, where are the doctors standing in the gap? Even if they're for this vaccine, they're just standing by and watching these women and men in the nursing profession that they have served with for years. They're just watching them lose their careers. And they're just, what, going to the country club on the weekends and just ignoring the situation? It is so gross. I mean, I hope nurses have woken up to the loyalty of their doctors because the doctors are doing nothing. They're all staying silent, most of them. They're staying silent to protect their paychecks, but they sure as hell are not protecting the nursing profession's paychecks.
Even worse than the ones that are ignoring it, there's a whole slew of doctors out there that are freaking encouraging it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is even worse to me.
Yeah, they are treating these nurses like idiots, and the nurses are the people who are our first contact with these people coming into the hospital with adverse events. I don't care how rare or common they are. A nurse draws on her experience. She sees what has happened with the vaccine, and she's hesitant, or she's seen something in the past, or she just wants to wait and see. She knows that medicine is not perfect. She's in that world. And I'm saying she. That's very sexist. He, she. They know that... They are the first. They are seeing these things. They're not making it up. We don't have some weird group of nurses who reject science or something like that. They see this. The doctors, they come in later, you know, after an adverse event, and then they just come in and try to deny it across the board and tell the patient, oh, you're just gone crazy. You've got anxiety. The nurses are the ones actually listening to these patients and empathizing with them and saying, something's not right here.
And most of the time, actually telling the patients what's really wrong with them.
Yeah.
But because the doctors are covering crap up or ignoring it or so got so many patients, they're running it all over the place and don't have a clue what Bill had compared to what Joe had. And the nurses are actually the ones that are actually sitting down with the patients in the rooms and saying, look, this is what's going to happen. This is where you're at. This is what you're doing. They're not, I mean,
well,
these doctors cannot function without the nurse staff.
I'll tell you right now, if I was at this radio station or at any other organization and people that I worked with for years and years were being fired and I knew it was wrong to demand that kind of, you know, obedience from them, to mandate a medical experiment on them, there is no way I could continue to enjoy my paychecks. I mean, I would rather lose my job than just sit atop a system that would dispose of so many amazing nurses just because they disagree on this one event. But anyway.
You know, but what do we expect when the leadership of the country can come on national TV and make such outlandish and laughable and idiotic statements as we have to protect the vaccinated. We have to get everybody back.
Right.
Got to get all these unvaccinated. This is the pandemic of the unvaccinated, and we've got to protect the vaccinated.
I thought that's what the vaccine was for. It's insane. It's insane. Hey, I got to run. I want to try to get this last little story in here, but I appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Yeah, it's insanity. Shame on you doctors that are staying silent to protect your own butts while you're letting these nurses be the sacrificial lambs for your profession. As I started to say, the financial side of this is just abhorrent, and I have talked for 4.5 years on this air about this giant wealth transfer of low interest rates. I've explained this to you. You get half of 1% on all the money you save, and the biggest corporations, the globalists that everybody thought Trump was tackling, he wasn't, but you think he was. The globalists have been enjoying basically free money at your expense. It's been the greatest wealth transfer, certainly in the history of this country. And nobody's paying any attention to it. I've been talking about it for 4.5 years. While the U.S. has one of the highest median incomes in the entire world, with only three countries boasting a higher income, it is who gets to collect this money. You understand what a median income is. It doesn't mean average. It is who gets to collect this money that is the major problem, because and there's a chart here that showed, with just a 50% share of the population in middle-income households, the U.S. is now in the same category as such banana republics as, listen to this, the United States, that used to be the country of the middle class, right? Emerging out of World War II? Are you kidding me? What made us successful was a vibrant, productive middle class in this country. The idea of upward mobility here, the land of opportunity. And now we are on par, the size of our middle class is on par with Turkey, China, and Russia. And what's just as stunning, according to the OECD, more than half of the countries in question have a more vibrant middle class than the U.S. Now, this didn't just happen under Joe Biden. Those Democrats, they're trying to destroy the middle class. No, that was Donald Trump that was asking for them to do negative interest rates, which would have decimated the middle class. He jawboned low interest rates, as did Barack Obama. George W. Bush inflated the real estate bubble to try to save his fanny from a bad economy after the dot-com crash. which was spurred on by the same kind of speculation during the Clinton administration. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what letters behind these people's names, and I don't care what kind of personality they have. They've been destroying the middle class here for decades. Since November 2019, it's only gotten worse, much worse, because as a result of unprecedented wealth redistribution unleashed by the COVID pandemic. Well, I hate that wording. Unleashed by the response to the COVID pandemic. America has truly cemented its banana republic status as the wealth of the top 1% exploded as a direct result of the Fed pumping trillions into the stock market and levitating asset values while the lower and middle classes stagnated. And this is what's happened. And people don't see it because, well, Netflix is still running. I like watching movies. I watched one last night. But I'm not completely obtuse to what's going on here. And to see it and to understand, again, I keep beating this drum, the Federal Reserve is the Death Star, and it is killing the middle class in this country. It sets up the system. Congress, critters, implemented on us all. And it is destroying the middle class. I mean, think about that for a second. The middle class in the United States, it's the same as it is in China, Turkey, and even Russia. The former Soviet Union and the current communist state of China have got the same size middle classes as our country. But you think if you vote really hard in 2022, I mean, just really bear down on that button. Fill in that oval so hard you rip the paper. Make sure my vote's counted. You think that'll save us? Man, oh man. It's happening, people. We're going to get to it in a second. It may be time for us all to start getting ready. Be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to talk about, you know, the preppers are going to have their day. I don't know when. Could be tomorrow. Could be in a year. Could be in 10 years. But the preppers are going to have their day. I've got food for me and my kids, about 6 months worth of food. And I got it for a very particular reason in response to the 2008 financial crisis, because as a financial nerd, as an economics nerd, I started understanding how vital the credit markets are for the United States. And I don't think many people can really fully appreciate this without some economic understanding. Basically, what it comes down to is when you see trucks hauling goods from where they were to where they need to be in the stores for you, you understand that these trucks do not have debit cards that they use to fill up the trucks to move them. That the drivers are not getting paid out of the bank account of most of these corporations who hire the truckers. They're all working on credit lines. And if you run into a true financial crisis, and this almost happened in 2008, and really, to be honest with you, it should have happened. It would have wiped out a ton of people. It would have been pretty brutal for a few years, I got to tell you. But it would have been so much, you know, like anything else, it would have been more healing. We would have shown everybody who had the kind of risky behavior of over-borrowing and over-leveraging and making risky bets, they would have been wiped out. And the rest of the standing businesses, the ones that were run well, would have picked up those entities for pennies on the dollar because they were responsible with their money and their use of credit, and we would have gone on. It would have been a period of disruption. But when I understood the credit markets are what fund things like trucking and transportation, you cut off credit lines to trucking companies or to even big places like Kroger. Kroger has huge revolving credit lines that they use to pay for all these things. It's not like they take in all the money from their registers, they count them down at the end of the night, they put them into a bank account, and they go, okay, we got money to pay our bills tomorrow. That's not how we work now. We also have in this country just-in-time delivery. It's been really fantastic for businesses because we had such robust transportation that companies didn't have to build these huge warehouses to stockpile stuff. They could pretty much order things and get them, and you know, there was just a constant flow of goods, so you could wait until essentially the last moment to get goods into your store to sell to the people. That's fantastic when things are going well. When there's a credit disruption and you can't run your trucks, I don't know what the statistic is, but grocery store shelves, I believe, can go completely bare in a day. We're like a week from what they believe would be complete societal breakdown. So anyway, I've got a little food. I'll put it that way. But I'm not a panicker. I refuse to go out and buy giant packs of toilet paper when everybody else does. First of all, I have to ask you, why is everybody needing so much toilet paper? I made it fine through the ice storm. I made it fine through the beginning of COVID. I think it reflects more on the health of Americans that we are so obsessed with needing so much toilet paper, to be as indelicate as possible on the show. But anyway, I don't panic first, but it may be time to get a little concerned because there are big things happening around the world. We're going to take a look, kind of a jog around the world to show you some very concerning trends that seem to be kind of all converging at the same time. But before I do that, I have to play this clip. We've got a media here in the United States that is just in full-blown cover-up of Joe Biden's mental decline. It's not even a decline at this point. It's basically he's bouncing around the bottom, and they're just trying to pretend it's not happening and hope nobody notices. Now, alternative media, certainly the station here, we point these things out. I have a lot of fun with Joe Biden's clips on Friday on This Week on the Crazy Train, and to think this man is the leader of the free world. I will say this, though. You know, so many people, Republicans, conservatives, please stop blaming Joe Biden for everything because you're missing the broader point. You can dislike him for a million reasons. He's corrupt. He's been a parasite on the system for forever. He's mentally incompetent. The ideas that he can sputter out are horrific for the United States, but he is a symptom of the massive corruption of this country that has been decades and decades in the making under both Republicans and Democrats. The same way Donald Trump was a symptom. If the left would ever recognize that the reason Donald Trump came to power in the United States was because people were finally catching on that they've been sold out by the political class, Republicans and Democrats. A lot of Democrats voted for Donald Trump in 2016. He's a great marketer. He's a great brander. He can do some very entertaining rallies. But the reason that he even got a foothold anywhere is that people were going, what is going on? We need something different. Unfortunately, I don't believe Donald Trump delivered the difference that everybody expected, but I know a lot of people disagree with me. But our media and their full-blown cover-up of Joe Biden is quite astounding. Australia's got their problems right now, don't they? They're a police state. I don't know what the hell has happened to the citizens of Australia. But they're starting to rise up. But there is one outlet, news outlet, Sky News, down in Australia. It may be the only media source, but they just did this piece on Joe Biden. And they did what I love, which is laugh at him. To just point to somebody, just be as dismissive as Joe Biden as you can possibly be, because it just shows there we should have no respect for the institution of the president of the United States. I know you want somebody, everybody to respect when your guy wins and when the other side. It always cracked me up when it doesn't matter if it's Obama people. They can scream out that George Bush is this and George Bush is that. But then when Barack Obama comes in and you say something against him, they call you a racist and say, well, you should at least respect the office. Let me go on the record here. I do not respect the office of the presidency of the United States. I do not respect the office of any Congress critter in Washington, D.C. What is to respect? What do they do? What do they offer? What service do they provide that demands some level of respect from me? They steal our money. They're destroying our country. But I'm supposed to give some kind of a fealty because they have some title around their name. I love how they call each other the honorable this and the honorable that. I mean, what a joke. Anyway, Sky News can throw stones from down under. And this was just a great segment. I'm just playing it because I thought it was funny.
Back to the Friday Showdown. Soon we'll be delving into the latest from the most lockdown city in the world. But first, to the US, where the leader of the free world had this important message to impart.
There you go, Tim. Thank you. Thank you, pal. AFL-CIO State President. And Jeff Isaacson, United Brotherhood of Carpenters. Don Finn, IBEW. And Robert Reiter, R-E-I-T-E-R, Rereader. You know, if I can digress for just a second, last night I was on the television. I was on the telephone. And, you know, at any rate.
Even with the assistance of an auto cue, the man is utterly incoherent. But there's more. There's always more.
I love the fact there's somebody off screen in this thing, one or the other. I guess one of the other hosts or it's just laughing in the background, just watching these things. I mean, it is absolutely laughable. I don't know what happened. They got Joe's chemical cocktail that usually perks him up for one of these speeches. I guess they're running low or he's developing a tolerance for it. They need to find a new 5-hour energy and a bang drink's not going to get it for Joe anymore. We're going to have to go full on crystal meth to wake Joe up for a speech, but they're not done. I just love the fact the other anchor person is in the background laughing, watching these clips.
Also, we've got state leadership here. Lieutenant Governor Julius here, Stratton, and the Ohio, Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania. The Illinois president of the Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep.
Heads up to Joe Biden's handlers. Do not give him a list of people and their titles to read. It goes badly every single time you do this. You know, the thing is that's really sick about this. They know that. But these bureaucrats and these politicians, they crave to hear their name come out of the mouth of the president. You know what I mean? These people are narcissists. They would be upset if he didn't list off all of their names. It's such a sick, self-congratulatory group of people in politics and in the bureaucracy. But Joe Biden cannot handle the list of names. They just need to take that off his plate. Roll credits at the end. Maybe in front of the podium there instead of the presidential seal. Just roll the credits of the names there. Let people read them themselves.
The Illinois president of the Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep. Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here too. Tim, where's Tim?
Don't worry, he eventually found Tim. Perhaps Tim can figure out what in God's name the president was trying to say there or here.
When you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the American Oil Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area. They went from state to state convincing people that allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around.
Oh, dear, dear me. Despite the media protection racket, President Biden's poll numbers have plummeted, particularly with independents. As they say, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time. We cannot fool all of the people all of the time.
Oh, let's go, Brandon.
Menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
He was looking for the place. You know, one thing on the Let's Go Brandon thing, I just absolutely love it. You know, the presidency in the United States, in my estimation, in my opinion, and I could be convinced that maybe it goes further back than this, but I believe the presidency of the United States has been an absolute abject joke and con job since John F. Kennedy. That day in Dallas was the end of true presidencies here in the United States. I mean, before that, presidents sold out on different things. But Eisenhower, he warned us what was happening. John Kennedy warned us of what was happening. And one day in Dallas, Texas, in the front of the entire country, they took care of that problem. They made it stand out. And I believe every president since then, there may be some that you love, but they have been front men. And so the presidency deserves no respect, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of older people who really don't like that statement because they believe that somehow the presidency embodies the United States. That's our figurehead. No. No, it's not. The Constitution is what we should be proud of, not some politician who rose up the ranks. I give respect to somebody who earns respect. Nobody gets a title and you just say, oh, okay, I got to go along with them now. I mean, there's no way they get to become the, you know, the head of the American Medical Association without really being on top of the ball. We all know how these people get their positions. They play the game. They do the right deals. It has nothing to do with serving the public. So my thing on Let's Go Brandon, I absolutely love it. I hope it grows and grows and grows, but I hope it grows into a larger movement, which is really just the delegitimization of the entire system. Those chants should be going out about Thomas Dobbs, about the Federal Reserve. I would like government politicians and bureaucrats to be like crazy people on the corner, shouting out requests. I need 30% of your money. And we just walk by them and just kind of laugh and keep on with our lives, because that's what they are. And if we stripped our consent from these people, that's the amount of power they would have. Now, the police may do their bidding, may not allow us to do this, but that's what I'd like to see. The same dismissive attitude that Let's Go Brandon, it should be across the board. And that's a big leap. And nothing's as catchy. Everybody wants the dun, 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 you know, across the world. I mean, this is France, this is Germany, this is Australia. Everyone, when they chant, dun, 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 dun. So sometimes the names don't fit. Thomas Dobbs doesn't fit in that, unfortunately. But we can come up with something clever for him. Speaking of our local people here, so this is my kind of get ready thing. We're going to take a look at some of the things that are taking place around the world right now that are big, really big issues. And if they continue in this trend, they could turn into very rapidly, very serious issues for all of us. And again, I love Let's Go Brandon. Joe Biden's a nightmare, train wreck, corrupt parasite on humanity. But it's not just him. You better understand what's coming down the pike. So we're going to look at all these issues. And one of the first ones, we touched on it briefly last hour, but I wanted to tell you about Tate Reeves weighing in on this. I mean, they are currently firing nurses, right? We've talked about that. They are taking our healthcare workers at a time when they tell us there's this deadly pandemic out there and that so many people are seeking medical care that they can't handle them all. And these people are firing healthcare workers. And there's a laundry list of other people I'll get to in just a second. They're also just saying, see ya. And these are the people who actually serve Americans. You know, they're not laying off politicians, even though Congress has made themselves exempt from a vaccine mandate. Isn't that interesting? And the congressional staffers, exempt. Executive branch, exempt. The people we really want to see laid off, want to see their careers destroyed, they're doing just fine. Our nurses, at a time of what they say is a national medical emergency, they're just firing a bunch of nurses. Well, Tate Reeves has an answer for that. Listen to this. And thank you to the listener that emailed me this link for the story this morning. The Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, MEMA, is evaluating 19 bids from private contractors to provide the state with desperately needed medical staff. They don't say in this article desperately needed because, well, the hospitals fired these people. They've been firing them for over a year. During a press conference on Friday, Governor Tate Reeves said the state hopes to put staff on the ground within the next week from one or more of the companies who submitted bids. The federal government will reimburse 100% of the cost for these services. Oh, see, they're free. That's why Tate Reeves loves. Oh, it's free. Though some requests from the state have already been approved and others are pending, one has been denied. A request for the military hospital ship, the USNS Comfort, and the 550 medical personnel on board to be sent to Mississippi. So Tate Reeves sits silent while nurses have their careers destroyed. He sits silent on this. Did he speak out against UMC firing a bunch of nurses and medical professionals? No, of course not. And this is why I'm telling you, the Federal Reserve is the Death Star, because there's no way the federal government could afford to give Tate Reeves a bunch of money to hire a bunch of out-of-state people to come in and save our bacon if they didn't have the Federal Reserve printing it up and handing it to them. Do you understand it always comes back to that? I know I'm beating the same drum. But God, you've got to understand that. So Tate Reeves, instead of standing in the gap and protecting his own citizen nurses, the ones that he lauded as heroes for the past 18 months, instead of speaking out against these things, Tate Reeves' office could have brought down a tremendous amount of pressure on UMC. But he didn't. Because Thomas Dobbs might be mad at him, I guess.
instead of standing up for his own citizens and his nurses, he's trying to get the medical ship, the one that was docked off of New York City during the first peak, the one that was not used. Reeves said FEMA administrators told him on Thursday that the ship served very few patients in New York City when it was docked there in the early pandemic. Still, Reeves said the request was more about the medical personnel on board than the actual facilities on the ship itself. Quote, "We would welcome any of the 550 healthcare professionals that are on this on that particular facility that the federal government would like to send us." This is what Reeves said, Tate Reeves. He wants 550 federally provided healthcare professionals off of this medical ship. That to him is easier than standing up and saying it is wrong to fire nurses at a time where we are telling the Mississippian that we desperately need medical services for our people. I don't know if Tate Reeves has hopes for a second term. I got to tell you, if I had assumed the governorship when Tate Reeves did and had done what he has done, I wouldn't even want a second term. He's already greased enough palms. He'll be absolutely fine. You know, these guys parachute into big paying jobs. Why would you want the hassle? It could only be ego. But I got to tell you, he may find himself a man without a constituency if he keeps this stuff up. But I just am floored. He wanted to bring the medical ship here rather than save the nurses that we already had. The nurses that have been serving us, again, for 18 months, risking their lives. Now, you know, that's a bit hyperbole. Most of these nurses were not at risk of death, but still, they waited in, they worked long hours, they took care of their patients, and Tate Reeves stood by while they got their walking papers, just hoping we get a military ship in with some of their doctors. Unbelievable stuff. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I make a lot of on the show about admitting when you're wrong. I think it's important. I think it's freeing. I'm not tied to my ego. I'm willing to laugh at myself when I'm horribly wrong, personally, professionally, anything. It's just we've got a real bad ego problem in this country of not admitting when we're wrong or when we've made a mistake and then digging into the same failed position on things. And free thinkers don't do that. Free thinkers are always examining their beliefs or their actions and going, okay, that was a swing and a miss. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody gets things wrong. The number of people who refuse to ever admit that is almost interesting when you pay attention to it that way. So let me go ahead and admit something right now. I've got a bit of a Chicken Little thing going on. A dash of boy cried wolf, because I have been talking about things like economic and societal collapse for, you know, 15, 17 years now. After the financial aid crisis, I did not buy when the S&P 500 reached 666. I should have known in this system that was some kind of a sign, but I didn't buy it because I didn't think they could salvage it. I knew how big the problems were in the financial crisis. The thing that I didn't understand was what lengths the Federal Reserve was willing to go to try to paperclip and duct tape our economy back together. I thought the laws of economics would still stand. They will. But I've got a little bit of guilt with me of being a Chicken Little or a boy cried wolf, because I've been warning about things for a long time and they just don't seem to come to pass, but they will. And it seems counterproductive to not call these things to people's attention, so at least people can kind of understand, hey, it's fragile now, we should be paying attention. So on top of them firing all of these nurses, that's what we started with today. They're also firing some free-thinking doctors. I talked about the UCLA doctor who was physically escorted from the building when he refused the shot. They are firing our police officers. Some sheriff's departments are firing their sheriffs. Spoke to a sheriff's deputy this weekend. Nothing happening in Madison County anyway. Thank goodness. And really, you are just going to find that the red areas, as much as I am disrespectful to the Republican Party, the conservative areas, they really may be lifesavers. We'll all be glad we're in those things, and that's why people are abandoning Jackson. But they're firing our police. They're firing firefighters.
I heard a story that in Austin, Texas right now, if you get burgled, you call 911, they tell you, if you wouldn't mind, call 311. We don't really have anybody to dispatch. Just make a report. Tell them what's going on. We'll have some bureaucrat check into it in a few weeks. And so we're going to have no nurses, no police. That's an exaggeration. We're going to be dramatically reduced in the medical professionals we have, the police we have, the firefighters we have. There is now stories that hundreds of thousands of U.S. military members have not received this jab at risk of being drummed out of the military. We've got pilots who are striking and leaving airplanes grounded to not take this thing. And if these airlines follow through on their threats, we will have dramatically reduced ranks of pilots and other essential personnel. And I did the story earlier. Seattle could fire 40% of their police force over mandates. With vaccination deadlines fast approaching, hundreds of thousands of U.S. service members remain either unvaccinated or partially vaccinated against COVID, according to the Washington Post. So what does our country look like with dramatically reduced first responders for the rest of us out here? Another thing to look at is the supply chain disruptions. And I am reading, I told you, I'm an economics nerd. And so I read a ton of stuff on financial stuff. There is no sign of this abating. In my professional life, I've got a situation where I am at the mercy of these supply chain disruptions, and they are devastating. I went to a dollar store the other day. Did I tell this story already? I apologize if I did. But I went to a dollar store the other day just because I was driving past one and my contacts were killing me. I didn't have any contact solution with me. I went in there to buy something. 85% of the rack was missing, just empty slots. I asked the woman at the thing because I'm seeing this everywhere. I know everybody else is seeing this too. Someone, I guess it was Clay, told me earlier that there's stores that can't get Halloween decorations in. I talked to somebody yesterday that can't get aluminum products in that they use to operate their restaurant. Our own Josh West here at the station has got relationships where he deals in promotional products, cups, T-shirts, polo shirts. He can't get them in. Delivery used to be 4 weeks. Now it's 16 weeks. And these things are happening all over the world right now, with no signs of abating, believe me, because I have a dog in that hunt, a financial interest in supply chains right now because of how devastating they've been over the past 8 months. I'm looking for any signs that it is about to get better, and they are not there. Not for at least another year from what most of the experts are saying. And if we have a credit crisis on top of that, oh my gosh, so be on guard for that. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on around the world in terms of energy. China, Lebanon, and India are right now have mass blackouts. They don't have coal. These are some supply chain disruptions. I don't know if some of this is financial, but they cannot keep the lights on in large parts of the world. Europe is at risk of some of these things. They have warned about being short on their energy needs for the winter. And some of this is the green policies. We saw what happened in Texas when the wind turbines froze up. Gee, I guess they never thought about that. But it seems like it is so sudden around the world. I mean, we're talking about millions of people plunged into darkness for extended periods of time. And this does not appear because these things are unrelated from country to country. This appears to be a systemic problem. Will we see it here in the United States? You might want to ask Texas if it's possible. But we've got that. We've also got inflation. Oh, the Federal Reserve and our bureaucrats tell us, oh, it's transitory, meaning it's going to end very soon. It was just a blip in the screen, you know, the new demand and all that stuff. There's nothing that says this is transitory. Nothing. No reason to believe that inflation is not going to continue. It may come in bursts and then slow down. But even our Federal Reserve chairman, who wants to try to convince all of you that he is not the one creating inflation, but he is. Even he says the rate of inflation will slow down. But if you think prices are going back to where they were, no, he's never even made an indication of that. It's a ratcheting up effect. You know, we all know their numbers are small anyway. If they report 5%, it means that the actual rate was probably 12%, right? But we've seen these big increases in inflations, and in some products, it's 30%, 45%. I know in steel prices, on the wholesale level, they went up 300, 400%. That's the new plateau. So if next year it's only 20%, you would say, oh, look at that, inflation is slowing. But it maintained and it stopped. You know, it locked in the first 300% price increase. And so it could moderate or it could accelerate, but there is almost nobody out there that is pointing to any signs that inflation is going to abate. So the value of your dollars is going to keep going down. And of course, we have right now the government, the media, and the manipulators at the top dividing us into hard camps of people. Right versus left, black versus white versus Hispanic versus Asian. And then the most just nefarious of them all is the vaxxed versus the purebloods. Which is the worst one, in my opinion, because the people who buy into this division that have been brainwashed into thinking that people who are unvaccinated, they believe you are an actual threat to their life. Conservatives, Second Amendment lovers, we believe in the right of self-defense, don't we? They are trying to convince normal people that people they pass by in the aisle at the grocery store are a threat to their life. It's absurd, of course. There's no data behind that. There's no statistics behind that. There's no real-world examples of that. But they are convincing people to do that. There are people on the left right now, and many people within the medical establishment themselves. Boy, I can't wait to my health show on Wednesday. I've got some clips to show you what the AMA is up to. But people in the medical establishment and the left, they want to see you dead if you don't take the shot. It's not enough for them that you can't go to a movie or go out to eat or travel. They want you dead. So what happens in a scenario, a grid-down scenario like they're seeing around the world right now? With rampant inflation, no police, no firefighters, no nurses to handle the load, and people at each other's throats in all of these different groups. Can you even imagine what that ends up looking like? Again, I've got a bit of a Chicken Little thing going on here. I do believe, and things are never as bad as you think they could be. They're never as good as you think they might be, and they're never as bad as you think they might be. But this feels pretty bad. It feels like a big setup. Throw in on top of all that, vaccine passports. Hopefully not in Mississippi, but as long as Tate Reeves keeps Thomas Dobbs, it's always a possibility. When we see that surge in the fall, Thomas Dobbs would not hesitate to snap his fingers and insist on some level of a vaccine passport. You will be a second-class citizen if you are, like me, heroically in the control group. We should be lifted on the shoulders of humanity, risking our lives, walking through the world unvaccinated. But they don't. And if the vaccine does actually cause long-term damage and people start dying, they will refuse to admit that that's the vaccine. They will say it's a new strain, a new variant. They will lock us down and come after us with these jabs even harder, even though it's actually a consequence of the first round of jabs. They're already seeing this in Israel. And that will allow them to create what will end up being a total control grid. And see, this is where I say it's Chicken Little stuff, man. I'm aware of that. But it is stuff that everybody needs to understand because you need to make preparations for you and your kids. I'm not talking about you don't have to move to Idaho tomorrow. But you might want to have a little bit of food. And you know what you really might want to do? What I think is probably the most effective thing you could do? Get out and meet people who understand these risks. You don't even have to talk about it when you're with them. This is why I love these things like the rally on Saturday, the CRT thing on Saturday night, the class I'm taking with Americans for Prosperity of a bunch of freedom fighters, a bunch of middle and upper class people that are sitting in a chair every Tuesday night just really learning how to affect political change because those are fellow travelers. And I know that I've got a community there. It's going to be nice to have that network of people. I may need them soon. They may need me. If nothing else, we don't talk about this stuff all the time. A lot of times we just laugh and joke about other stuff. I've got new friends. That's kind of a good thing. But you should be getting prepared mentally for this as well and understanding that we may truly be entering some kind of a dark phase, and I hope I'm wrong. I thought we were headed there in 2008. When I finally understood what was happening, and the vast majority of Americans still have no idea what really took place in 2008. They don't understand the derivatives market. They don't understand the tentacles of places like AIG and Goldman Sachs and what would have happened if those institutions failed, and they were within hours of failing. People really don't know the bullet we dodged, although I believe we should have taken the bullet. We should have taken it for our children. What we did instead was we sidestepped it like the Matrix, and our kids are playing behind us, and that bullet is just headed straight for them because we were too cowardly to accept the consequences of our own bad actions over the past several decades. But anyway, I thought 2008 was going to be a lot worse than it was. And they may paper this thing together for another 10, 20, 50 years. I don't know. And then I'll really look like a jackass. I'll have to figure out how to hand over the baton of the boy cried wolf to somebody behind me. But eventually we'll be right. And then there's a couple other things, actually, I wanted to talk about that you really need to be aware of. And one of them's kind of a biggie. I'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. All right, final segment here. I do not like to do doom porn. And in my life, as much as I wallow in this information, 90% of my life is laughing and joking with people. That's all I want to do. If we would hurry up and beat these nut jobs, I'd just like to get back to 100% just laughing and joking. Because that's what gives me happiness. And I've watched 18 months of just fear porn on the major network news from our politicians, from our bureaucrats. And we can see from the data that there's no way to justify it. So the problem with all of these things I'm laying out to you, all of these big things that are happening all at once, is that they've named it. You know, I mean, bad things happen in the world. Earthquakes, volcanoes, financial collapses, coups. I mean, things happen. The world is a messy place. But what's going on right now across the board, they're calling this thing the Great Reset. I mean, they named it really as it was getting kicked off. They kind of announced it. It's like the title at the beginning of a movie. And these are very powerful people that announced it. To all of you out there who want to mandate the shots, I want to tell you, you are keeping some bad bedfellows. You really are. If you think Bill Gates loves you, that Klaus Schwab with the Economic Forum loves you, these people don't care about you. You are nothing to them. You're a serf, a plebe, a prole. We've got mass censorship right now. Many people have said it before me, but it's just such a great point to make. When in history have the people who censored information been the good guys? We always think, oh, but this time it's different. That's famous last words. So we've got censorship right now and unprecedented levels right now here in the United States. It's Soviet-style censorship here in the United States. Thankfully, the free market has provided platforms to still get information out, but they're going to keep swatting these things down. It's like whack-a-mole. We've seen these cyber attacks going on. There are countries that have lost internet connection, sometimes just for 6 hours, sometimes for a day, sometimes for a couple of days. Can you even imagine what happens in the United States? We lose our internet connection, cut off really from all information. This is why I'm telling you, you better surround yourself with a bunch of like-minded people. You don't have to move to Idaho, but you might want to know their phone number by heart. Google on YouTube Thursday announced a new policy that prohibits climate change deniers from being able to monetize their content on their platforms, and that's the first step to deplatforming and censoring people who disagree on climate change, which is also a part of, anyone, the Great Reset. At the same time, we're laying off police and firefighters and nurses, violent crimes rising. But let's keep that a little bit of perspective. It's still not where it was back in the 1990s, but throw a financial crisis or some power outages on top of what we got right now, I got to tell you, that's probably not going to be good. And one of the biggies right now that I'm seeing, and it seems to be accelerating, and again, I could be Chicken Little, the boy cried wolf, they are coming for a digital currency. And I'm not talking about the freedom of Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm talking about Fed bucks, where you have a wallet that the federal government can go into and out of. And there are so many Americans right now that are so addicted to credit cards and debit cards and Apple Pay and Venmo that they just really don't see a reason to be carrying around that relic of cash. That will complete total control of you. You think you're a second-class citizen because you don't have a vax passport? You wait till they control your bank account. You think it's bad when they cancel your Instagram account? Wait till they cancel your bank account. And I'm not talking about telling you to take your money elsewhere. I'm talking about taking your money and locking you out of the system. And we all think to ourselves, well, even if that happened, I could turn to my friends. There's people that would take care of me. They'd feed me. I could give them my money. Well, where are you going to get the money from if everything is digitized? They're not going to allow any money to be transferred to you. And your friends are not going to be as friendly when they realize that if they help you, then they go on the blacklist. It's self-preservation at that point, baby. I've got kids. I'd love to help you, Mike, but I can't risk it. We're already seeing that with the vaccines. Neighbors turning on neighbors. This cashless society is to be resisted at all levels. All levels. I'm so disappointed. The Raiders, I believe, out in Las Vegas, I believe they have a cashless stadium. You cannot use cash there. They'll give you all kinds of flowery reasons why not. They don't have to handle cash, don't have to worry about shrinkage, it's convenient. But when we accept these things, if they roll out a truly cashless system on us, that is game over, in my opinion. That is total control of your population. You cannot actually, as prophetic as this is, you cannot buy or sell. And I've got a couple of clips. I don't know if I have time to play them. Well, let's see if I can sneak a couple of them in here. Because they're saying it straight to our face. This is one of the Australian health ministers. Let's see if I can get her on here.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. In the New World Order. In the New World Order.
And it's not just crazy Australia. I've also got a clip here. I'll play it later. Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago. Same thing. Healthcare professionals, everybody's got to get on program with the New World Order. I don't do a New World Order show. I'm not going to tell you about the Illuminati. If you can't even face down your school boards, I'm not going to tell you you're going to do anything to the Illuminati, to the Rockefellers, to the Rothschilds. I mean, come on. Well, baby steps, people, baby steps. Get control of your school, and then we'll talk about the New World Order and taking it down. But what I do say is you better resist it. And all of these things in combination, I got to tell you, scary as hell. See you tomorrow.
No matter
Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.